Now, in our study of the Gospel according to John, we have reached chapter 6. Now, chapter 6 is a remarkable chapter, great chapter, both in length and in strength. It is the longest chapter in his Gospel. The record of this chapter falls into the central division of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The chapter may be divided into four distinct movements, such as the food that was provided, the force that was frustrated, the fear that was removed, and the facts to be believed. Now I want to read to you, first of all then, the first 13 verses which deal with the food that was provided. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. May the Lord bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we turn to Thee. Day by day we realize our need of Thee, and we acknowledge that in Thee we live and move and have our being. We are dependent upon Thee for the very breath that is in our nostrils. We depend upon Thee for the provision of food to nourish our bodies. We depend upon Thee for salvation, acknowledging that there's no other way of salvation except that which Thou hast provided in the person of Thy beloved Son. May Thy blessing then rest upon every listener today, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now I suggested to you then that here in chapter 6 we enter, as it were, a new sphere of study, in the sense that we have another miracle, one of the signs that prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Here it is the food that was provided. Now I want you to notice, first of all, that there was a problem to be faced. For when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he says unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now here was a test of the faith of this man, Philip. There's a problem. It's a problem of demand and supply. Now remember, the feeding of this hungry multitude is the fourth sign in his Gospel, and is the one miracle which is recorded by each gospel record. You'll find it recorded by Matthew, by Mark, by Luke, and by John. Now the problem to be faced then was the problem of demand and supply. Now I know that most of you are thinking today, but that's an age-old problem, and it's still with us. Day by day, we've got to think of the problem of demand and supply. People have got to know how many there are who live in a certain town or in a certain city, and they know how much will be required to feed those people. They know what the demand is. And then there's got to be the supply to meet the demand. And so, business goes on. There are those who bring to the market. There are those who buy in the market. But now the great problem that had to be faced on this occasion, the problem of people, a great multitude, a hungry multitude. And you know, people have always had problems. One of the great problems facing the world today is the problem of population explosion. At least that is what we're told, that the population is exploding at such dimension that the people in authority are wondering how they're going to meet the demand. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ faced the problem right there on that day when he saw this great company come unto him, a multitude of people. And he turns to one of his disciples and he says, Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? The problem of people. There was also the problem of place. They were not in a market. They weren't even in a town or a city. They were out on the hillside. They couldn't just go down to the store and give their order. Where would they get the bread? There was the problem of place. There was the problem of provision. For Philip said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In plain words, he's saying, even if we had the money, which is doubtful if they had, but even if they had it, it would have taken, in these days, 200 pennyworth of bread. Now remember, a penny in these days was a day's wages. So it would have taken 200 days' wages just to buy bread, to give a little each to the whole crowd that was there. Philip was really faced with the great problem. The problem of demand and supply, which entailed a problem for people, a problem of place, and a problem of provision. Now, my friend, I ask you this. When you think of the hungry multitudes today in the world, I want to lift this problem above the material thing. It is a problem we've all got to face, the problem of feeding the hungry multitudes, especially in countries and places when disasters strike. How do you get food to the hungry, perishing crowd? Now, when shall we buy it? How is it going to be supplied? Again, I remind you, this was a test to the faith in that day. It may be a test today. On the other hand, I want to lift this above the material thing. I want to lift it onto a spiritual sphere. There is the great problem today of the hungry, perishing multitudes of the world who are living their lives without Christ. They need to be fed with spiritual food. The Lord said to Peter on one occasion, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Then again the great Apostle Paul said to the elders of the church at Ephesus, I want you to take heed to yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, that you feed the flock. That is, they were to be fed with spiritual food. There's a great problem facing people today. It's the problem of spiritual supply. How do we get the message out to the hungry multitudes? Men and women today are living in a state where they've been dissatisfied for a long time. They don't understand what it is. They're trying all sorts of things. The growing generation have turned to drugs. Their fathers perhaps turned to alcohol in the past generation. They've tried the liquor. They've tried the drugs. They'll try a new kind of music. They'll try sport. They'll try all kinds of things in order to meet the demand. Oh, my friend, lift your thoughts to a higher level today. These things will never satisfy the hunger of the soul. There is such a thing as the hunger of the body, and only food can supply that. There is such a thing as the hunger of the soul, and only Jesus Christ, the true bread that came down from heaven, can supply that. Men and women need to get saved. Now, I want you to take note now of the provision that was made. This introduces us to another one of the disciples whose name was Andrew. It says, one of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But he adds, what are they among so many? Now you know, of all the disciples, I think there are things about Andrew that are really attractive. Andrew must have been an attractive fellow. Have you ever noticed that when Andrew first found the Savior, he went and got his brother Peter, who was known in these days as Simon, and he went and brought his brother, who we all know as Simon Peter. He brought him to the Lord. You know, you never read of Andrew preaching any great sermons. Of course, you do read of Peter preaching, but we pointed out while dealing with chapter 1, it was Andrew who brought his brother Peter to the Lord. Now, here in chapter 6, I find that Andrew is bringing someone else to the Lord, a little lad, a young boy. And this young boy didn't have very much. But Andrew brought him to the Lord. You know, Andrew simply told what he knew. When he went to Peter, he told Peter, he said, Peter, I want you to come. For the simple reason, he wanted to take him to the Lord. Now, when Andrew followed the Lord, and the Lord asked him, whom seekest thou? He said, where dwellest thou? He said, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. But then he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. See, Andrew simply told what he knew. We've found the Messiah. Here in chapter 6, he brings someone else to the Lord. And Andrew simply tells what he knew. He simply said this, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But he brought the boy to the Savior. The next thing we notice is this, that the boy gave what he had. Now, my friend, I want to ask you, in simplicity, what was it that brought you to the Savior? If you have come to Christ, isn't it because someone told you about the Savior? Was it some Sunday school teacher who in simplicity presented to you the message concerning the Savior and was able to lead you to a saving knowledge of Christ? Or did you listen to some preacher preach a simple, straightforward gospel message and you believed to the saving of the soul? You see, you only need to tell what you know, that's all. Don't try and speak about things that you don't know. He simply brought the boy and said, here's a lad here, and all he's got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the little boy gave what he had. You know, a lot of people today are trying to give what they haven't got. A lot of people try to make bargains with God. And they bargain with God and they say, now if you do such and such a thing for me during 1980, this is what I'll do for you. And at the beginning of the year, they bargain with God. They say, if you give me this, then I'll give you so much back. My friend, you don't need to bargain with God. God isn't asking you to give what you haven't got. God just asks us to give what we can, according to the way that He has prospered, not according to the way that we expect God to prosper us in days to come. He only asks you to give according to what He has already given you. The little boy had 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish. And one thing we must say is this, the little boy gave all that he had, but he simply gave what he had. And that's all that God asks us to do. And so the provision was made. But then, having received from the boy what the boy handed to him, and may I suggest this, the little boy, first of all, must have given himself, you know. And then he gave what he had. It's no use you trying to give to the Lord out of your substance if you haven't, first of all, given yourself to the Lord. Give yourself first, and then God will be pleased to accept from your substance. But He wants you first. And if God gets you, then He'll get His portion. Then the Lord gave thanks. Now, I like that little part of it. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, now there wasn't much there to give thanks for, was there now? Just 5 little barley loaves and 2 little fish. That's all. But the Lord, in front of that great multitude, seems to lift up His eyes to heaven, and He gave thanks to God. I wonder, was He given thanks to God for the multitude? Was He given God thanks for the little boy? Was He given God thanks for Andrew who brought the boy? Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, then He's given thanks to God for that which the boy gave. Oh, my friend, what a privilege for us, perhaps to give of our talents, or to give of our time, or to give of our treasures. And we give them to the Lord, and the Lord gives thanks to the Father for what we have done. Oh, what a privilege. I wonder, what was the impression left to that little boy that day when he heard the Lord giving thanks for his little parcel with 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish? But the Lord gave thanks. I like that. And then again, not only do we have the provision that was made, we have the participation by the multitude. The supply was free to all who would accept or participate. The supply was full or sufficient to meet every demand. Now, notice first of all then, it was a free supply. When they were filled, He said unto His servants, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, I want you to notice very carefully, and I'm not trying to be too critical, I'm just stating facts. The Lord Jesus Christ did not pass from the collection box first to take up a collection of money before they could partake of the food. You see, if this was in present-day religion, I think they would take up the collection first. Or it may be they would sell the tickets beforehand. And people would only be allowed to participate if they had the entrance ticket, or if they had paid the entrance fee. Oh, my friend, listen, there's nothing here at all about money, except what the disciple said, that 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. Well, they didn't have 200 pennyworth of bread, yet there was sufficient. What the Lord did was this, He gave thanks. And after He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. Now, I've often puzzled over this, and perhaps you have done the same, but may I suggest this, that the Lord Jesus Christ that day, when he distributed all this bread and fish, it multiplied in the distribution. It was only when they distributed this that it multiplied. The people didn't see it multiplying, but only as it passed from one to the other, then was it multiplied. But it was a free distribution, and it was a full distribution. The supply was free to all who would participate, and the supply was full. There was nothing lost. When they were filled, have you ever noticed the little boy gave 5 barley loaves, 2 little fish? But as a result, he got all that he needed, and so therefore, everyone was supplied. Now, in seeking to make a very personal and positive application of the truth in this particular passage, we must face this. Just as that multitude stood in need that day, and only the Lord Jesus Christ was able to meet the need of the multitude, so also is he the one who is able to meet the need of the multitude today. But just as he was able to meet the need of every individual in that crowd, so he is able to meet the need of each individual today. Now here is something we must all face. While there was an ample supply, sufficient to meet the needs of all who were there, nevertheless, each one had to partake for himself or herself. As the bread was handed, each one had to take and partake. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has made a full provision today for men and women who are in need. I care not, my friend, who you are or what you are. The Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet your need. He died on the cross of Calvary in order to provide for the need of perishing men and women. As sinners, without Christ, we're perishing. But Christ has supplied that which is necessary to meet our needs. Later on we learn that he is saying, I am the bread of life, and he is. And just as these people in that crowd that day required bread to meet the need of the body, so also we today are in need of that which shall supply the need of the soul, and the Lord Jesus Christ is able and willing to meet that need. The little boy came with his 5 little loaves and 2 little fish. He himself, as it were, gave himself to the Lord and gave the Lord what was in his hand. He got far more back than ever he gave. So many people today think that the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting to take everything from them that they've got in life. No, my friend, he's standing ready to give you what you need. When you trust Christ as your Savior, it's a matter of receiving something from him. The little boy got all that he needed, and there was much left over. Now, the Lord teaches us this, that not only is there a full supply, sufficient to meet the needs of all who are there to partake, but there's nothing to be lost. Gather up the fragments, he says, and they gathered up 12 baskets of the fragments. Remember, there were 12 apostles, one for each of them. The Lord doesn't want waste. There's more than enough to meet the need. I ask you, my friend, have you ever come to Christ? He can meet your need.